With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, it's Bob jumping in before this episode starts. And you know what that means? It means the sound issues. This far in, we still have them sometimes. So actually, all four of us have a slight, there's four of us on this episode, all four of us have a slight sort of sound issue going on. For Tis, you're going to hear a slight buzzing. Sometimes, every now and then, it's more prominent towards the beginning of the episode. For Beef, it's much more echoey where he's recording because he's on holiday, recording from holiday. So it's much more echo to the room he's in. For me, a bit more croakiness maybe than you're used to, because when we recorded this was the first day I was out of bed from having the flu. And from Emma, I think there was some connection issues. You got a little bit of juddering and stuttering every now and then. But hopefully I'll fix as much of this stuff as I can in the edit. I'm just pre-warning you, you're probably going to hear little things from all four of us that don't sound 100% right. But it's perfectly listenable, and I hope you enjoyed part two of four of the season of skepticism. So here we go.
People always say, "Oh, you still doing the podcast? Oh, amazing. That's amazing." I'm like, I literally turn up and chat shit. I do nothing. I contribute nothing to the show, really. Yeah, probably. I just want my faith restored.
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is feeling fine after 5 days of being laid up in bed with the flu, Bob Choi. This is Randy Adam Tis.
I'm shattered. Hey, guys.
And it's living the life of luxury on holiday, Luke Beef.
All right.
Yeah, you're on holiday. Where are you?
Devon. Yeah, we're at my aunt and uncle's house. It's nice.
He's always on bloody holiday. Nice weather. At the moment.
We've had three holidays this summer, but one of them was camping. So I feel like that's stressful.
Yes.
And then the other one was with my family, so that's also stressful. So this is almost like our first holiday.
This is your detox after two stressful. You needed another holiday to get over the first two.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to need to come to Leeds to get over this.
Yeah, but that's not going to be a relaxing weekend.
No,
On the booze, mate.
Bobby, I was telling Bob Tis that I don't feel like I can have the bed. I feel like you and Lidge need to have the bed.
I don't mind.
What?
He loves the floor.
We can bring an air bed.
Bob's now like, absolutely not.
I don't care. Like, you work out between you.
Okay.
Anyway, the other voice you can hear is our special guest for this episode. Like we said before, on the season of skepticism, this is part two. We're going to have a different guest on every episode. So, listeners to my Simpsons podcast, For All One More, may recognize the voice of Emma Apps.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hi, Emma.
Hello. It's nice to be here with you guys.
It's
finally.
Lovely to have you.
Nice to have you.
I've only been begging to get on the show for 5 years.
Yeah, Emma, now you've joined us, you can see how when we ask each other how we are on the pod, we've actually already been talking bollocks for half an hour.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And we've been telling Bob we should have got you on all this time, and he's been refusing it for some reason. So
I know. He hates me.
I didn't want to muddy the water of Weird Tales.
I know.
I didn't want to mix the pods while the Simpsons one was still running, but that's just come to an end. So perfect time to have you on, because the whole concept of this episode, like we said, we're doing the Season of Skepticism. It's four parts. The first part was the discussion episode last time with Rick, which a lot of people seem to really enjoy. And now we're going to look at our past, present and future for the next three episodes. So for this one, it's who we were. So we thought we'd ask Emma, because she's been a vocal and supportive long-time listener since right at the beginning of the show. So she can help us talk about who we were at the start of the show compared to now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I've been listening for just over 5 years now. And like I said to Bob and Beef earlier on, it's actually crazy because the relationship that I've got with you guys is actually longer than my marriage and my relationship I have with my children, because I've been listening
it's
longer.
More important as well.
Yeah. Mm. You're like my second family, and it's so weird to me because I...
First family.
Yeah. I feel like I've been part of the show myself. I feel like you guys have been like just friends that live down the road around the corner. But this is the first time that I've actually been with all three of you at the same time. So it's so bizarre, but I'm so happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Very good.
Oh, that's so emotional. I feel choked up.
Yeah.
Part of the Weird Tales family.
And can I just say, I was the OG listener of the week.
Yes, I was actually about to say you were our first ever listener of the week.
Yeah.
Emma, do you remember what episode it was on?
I think it was the Rasputin episode, which I actually suggested, because you guys put a poll on Patreon.
Yeah, we did like a summer where we had voted for episodes by listeners, yeah.
And I requested it, and you guys picked it, and then... Beef hosted the episode, and then at the end you guys were like, okay, we're gonna do this new thing, and because it suggested the episode, it only feels fitting that she is the first listener of the week. And I remember listening to it and like getting so emotional. I was like, oh my god. Paid it to all my family and friends.
Amazing.
So we've got
I
the
didn't
right
realize
person
it was
on.
That late. That was a couple of years into our tenure, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a while in before we started it.
Because Joel was only little, I remember, because that was about the time that Rachel and I got horrendous food poisoning.
Well, I remember recording that Rasputin one because it was like my last day in the house at Stukeley. We were sat on the floor in the spare room with no furniture.
Upstairs, yeah.
Drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah. What?
Oh, gross.
We were sitting downstairs.
We sat upstairs in the spare room in my house in Stukeley. There was no furniture in the house. We just all sat cross-legged on the floor with a bowl of Kool-Aid between us.
I do remember the Kool-Aid, but I can't remember being upstairs with it.
I can't believe you don't remember recording the show, but you do remember having a drink.
I remember Kool-Aid being part of it.
Right, because that makes it better.
So quickly, Rasputin was episode 90.
Oh, I think we had listened to the week before then. You might have got like an extra mention on that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we mentioned you before.
Okay, yeah. Maybe.
That's much later.
Yeah,
I think it was around
the 40s or 50s we started listening to the week.
Okay, it might have been an episode. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, so listeners, this time round, we're going to look back at our early episodes and who we used to be, and our journey with skepticism starts here. It's like a little bit of a retrospective and a little bit of like searching into ourself, which is going to continue for the next few. Now, before we recorded this, we did say we were going to try and listen to a few early episodes each. So did any of you guys manage to listen to some early Weird Tales? And which ones did you listen to?
Yeah, I did.
I did.
I did too.
Okay, Tissy, you go first. What did you listen to?
I listened to Man from Maputo. And I think I listened to Number Stations.
Okay.
Man, I'm so quiet in every episode. What the hell? I don't talk ever.
We did say that.
I'm basically like the silent host.
Yeah.
I think it's part of your charm, because you will go quiet for long stretches and then suddenly appear out of nowhere. When we was waiting for you, we almost started the show and we were just going to have you pop up and just like normally in people. I was like, people won't notice. Sometimes he goes 20 minutes without talking anyway.
To be fair, when Tiss goes quiet, I just think he's really sort of just like sitting back, taking it all in, just like really sort of gathering his thoughts together. But I don't know, is that why?
That's giving it too much respect.
When you say sitting back, you're almost bang on, because sometimes he does literally lay down on his bed away from
Sometimes he's gone for a wee. as well.
I think I just generally, I don't speak unless I've got something to say.
Yeah.
I find it hard to be a host and a presenter.
Which is wonderful, except when you're on a podcast. Audio media.
Yeah.
Well, that's why there needs to be three of us.
That's why I've got you guys. You guys are very, like, presentery, very, you know, like, you've got that pizzazz where you can really talk about something in detail for a long time.
It's just called waffling. There's no skill.
Waffle. Beef does public speaking all the time.
Yeah.
I can just waffle on and on about nonsense. There's a real difference there.
Tis, you're not... I listen to Man from Maputo and... You're not yourself. You can tell that, like, this is, I don't know, maybe for the first few episodes, you're quite nervous. Because by the time we got to episode 10, you come out your shell more, and it's more Tis.
Yeah.
Beef, you're bang on there, because I listened to 1 and 10, and the difference between all of us is, like, night and day. We're all a little bit...
Yeah.
Not quite know how to do the vibe of the show on episode 1. It's quite endearing in a weird way.
Yeah, I said to Bob when we recorded the last episode of our Simpsons that I had listened to episode 1 and episode 10, and I said to Bob, it's so cute how you guys are like, oh my God, we've reached this milestone. We've got to 10 episodes.
Yeah.
You're like 150 plus now. It's absolutely mad. But it's just so cute how you're like so chuffed that you've got this fan base. And then obviously you're only 10 episodes in. So then like 100 episodes in, you've probably like double, tripled, quadrupled your listeners that you had on episode 10.
You would think so, wouldn't you? It hit a plateau. Like we hit...
Oh.
We had a lot of listeners from the get-go, which was very surprising. And then around the time we did Transylvania, we hit like a massive peak and we're like, oh my God, we're getting massive. And it stayed literally there. Like it's never changed really, like fluctuates slightly, but... We are on an even keel, but we also, once we hit sort of those bigger numbers, we stopped promoting the show, so that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe.
We're like, we have enough listeners now.
It's so funny because, like, the early episodes were on that weird website, weren't you?
It was a podcast platform, but it was it wasn't like a big one. It was Podomatic we were with.
Yeah, because I started listening on Podomatic, and then I went to Acast, so it was very... Yeah, it was strange. That's when, for me, it was like, oh, okay, you guys are up in, like, I could just...
I'm really sorry.
We're still watching Tis eat his dinner in the background.
He's laughing at me eating a burger in the background.
Yeah, after saying, I don't know why I disappear.
Never mind. You're like Brad Pitt. You're always eating in the background of...
I'm just trying to nail my food. So I can talk when I'm
ready. He's not like Brad Pitt in any other way, I'll say that.
No, he's not. Just in the fact that he eats his food.
So, Emma, you said about us being on Podomatic.
Yeah.
The one thing that's recently come up, actually, for long-time listeners, you may remember a very, very short mini-episode, which we are now... All it is just announcing to people who listen exclusively on Podomatic, hey, we're moving over to Acast.
Yeah.
It wasn't a numbered episode. It was just called... I think it was called like Weird Tales Presents TMI.
Oh, okay.
Something. And on that episode, Tis is like ordering a pizza in the background or something. And it's just a real silly 15 minute. We're moving over and laughing about Tis ordering a pizza while we're trying to record. That episode, if you have it, is no longer available. So it's like the only bit of Weird Tales that's ever gone out, which is like not available anymore because...
Exclusive.
Yeah, there was there was an issue of our back catalogue when Acast moved all their stuff over, and that one, the root file, couldn't be found. And I don't think filed it properly because it wasn't numbered. It was just like a weird thing on the side that we did as like a weird announcement. So that episode, if you have it, that's the only way you can ever have it. You can't get it again now.
Yeah.
So Weird Tales Presents TMI is a little bit of Weird Tales history.
Have you got it?
No, I don't have it. I haven't got it.
I might have it on a hard drive somewhere. I could re-upload it, but why? Like, by now, people don't care if we're moving from Podomatic to Acast, so...
It's a bit weird, because I still listen to it on Acast, which is the first sort of podcast app that I used. And number one is obviously The Man from Maputo, but then for some reason, number two is not on there, and it goes to three number stations. So I don't know if there was anything in between.
Oh, I listened to Man from Maputo this week. Not Man from Maputo, Mozambique Stories. That was episode 2. I listened to it this week.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's not on on mine. It's not on there.
There have been a few issues recently with Acast because they've been changing their back end. And so some episodes have been disappearing momentarily. So I actually used Spotify when I re-listened to the episodes. Also, because I was re-listening at 1.5 times speed on Spotify, so I could listen to more stuff while I was working.
I might actually, because I do listen to you guys on Spotify sometimes, so I might actually just look on there instead.
Yeah, I think they're all on Spotify. Acast is having transition time.
But going back to the early days, like, I'm not sure about you guys, but it really was a big surprise that anyone listened at all. Like, it felt, to me, I felt like it wouldn't, I felt like if we crept above, like, I don't know, 50 listeners, then that would have been unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
So the fact that it did, and within that first week, I was like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty bonkers.
It was crazy how that first episode instantly had, I don't know how many, it would have been like, for us to be that amazed, it was probably like 200, which like for a first episode of a podcast with no history was like, what the hell?
That's mad.
And then quickly rose and rose and rose, yeah.
Because I think I started sort of listening to you guys from, I'd say, probably about episode 10. And then I then obviously listened to like the first 10 episodes after. But from sort of 10 to now, it's just mad. And one of the reasons why I decided to like keep listening to you guys was because you guys just felt like a group of my friends. And I just felt like when I put my headphones in and listened, that I was just sitting around with a bunch of my friends just talking about weird stuff. Mm. It was like at the beginning purely because of what your episodes were about, but then as I sort of started going through and like getting more involved and knowing about you guys and your lives and your personalities and things like that, then it became a bigger percentage of I was listening to it because of you guys rather than the content. And that's from a listener's perspective, and I don't know if anyone else feels the same, but for me now, I listen to you guys because you cheer me up, because you make me laugh, because...
Stop it.
And, like, I'm not here to make you, like, make you blush or, you know, anything like that. But I'm speaking as a 100% listener, because obviously I didn't know you guys before I joined Bob's Podcast Network. I was just a fan, and for me... As I said, at the early days, it was because I was interested in the content and the subjects.
When we started getting messages from listeners saying stuff like that, I think was when we started leaving more of that stuff in. Because early on, we would edit a lot of that stuff out because it was like, well, people don't care about like our personal lives and stuff. And a lot of it we still cut out because they don't need to know like what happened to me down like Tesco's last week and stuff like that. But
yeah,
we did start leaving more of that stuff in.
I think that's great, and it's so encouraging to hear that because that's exactly what we were kind of hoping for when we started. And
yeah,
like when I think about some of the podcasts I listen to, so there's a rugby podcast that I listen to a lot, and there are probably better rugby pods out there, like with more succinct detail and a bit more analysis and statistics. But I listen to it because I like the people and the way they respond to each other, and they're three friends that happen to know rugby really well but obviously know each other really well as well. So
100% the people hosting is more important than what they're talking about to me. Like I need to like the host. Even if what they're talking about is interesting, if I don't like them, I'm not gonna listen to the show.
I think as well, like, there's a few podcasts that I listen to that are 100% just like facts. And if I'm in the mood to learn about something new or learn something new about a subject that I already know a little bit about, then I will sort of lean towards that. But if I'm just like getting ready to go to work, or if I'm in the car, or I just want to chill out, then I would turn to a podcast that's more like you guys, that I'm like, okay, I can just do this and do my housework.
This was the first time I've listened back to, apart from editing stuff, obviously, to episodes of Weird Tales for years. So did we all listen to episode 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Tis, what did you sort of notice about us in episode 1 that might be different to us now?
Put him on the spot.
I remember now. So Man from Maputo... Yeah, so, well, I guess the episode style was very different to how we style our episodes now. Our episodes now is, like, one subject, lots of facets of that one subject.
that one was almost it was almost like we were going to run like 10 episodes and that would be it. We were just running through conspiracies like they were fucking running out of fashion.
Well, your first conspiracies episode was exactly the same as that. A lot of our first episodes were exactly the same as that. We'd just say something, read like one paragraph about it and go, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I'd say interesting and that's it.
Well, yeah.
We still do that now.
And that'd be it, yeah. But the thing is, in my head, I'm like, I'm saying lots in my head, but all I'm saying is interesting. And if you don't convey what you're thinking, then people don't know what you're thinking. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I meant by, like, as a listener, not knowing what you got like behind the scenes. From as a listener's perspective, I'm like, oh, yeah, Tiss is just sitting there being, like, gathering all his thoughts together.
You're giving him too much
credit. No, he's eating a burger. He sat there eating a burger instead.
That's what I'm doing these days. Back then, I probably was way more, yeah, I probably had a lot more energy to be... Now I'm, and this is the subject of the episode actually, is now I'm a lot more skeptical, so
yeah,
maybe I'm a less open-eared to certain things.
Interesting you say that, because I've got some bullet points for episode one, and my first thing is I've just put, we are all so credulous and curious. We're so like bright-eyed and like, oh, and they're like excitable in like almost like a, but not pizzazzy, because we'd actually know how to host a show yet. We're very, like kids. It's really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
How sort of like wide-eyed we are. Like, oh, that's cool. Ready to believe anything.
I don't think, and this is where I think I'm going to have a different opinion to you guys. I don't think that's anything to do with our beliefs or opinions. I think that's just trying to be polite to people who are listening, because at that point, like, well, we're never going to have a clue. We don't know who's going to listen to us, and you're forever kind of skirting around the edges. You don't want to offend people. I remember being quite conscious of that and thinking, well, actually, this needs to be a bit more careful, because if it doesn't go right, then we're not going to get to episode two, and then it would have just been a weird thing that we did once. So I was quite conscious of that, and so maybe all of us were a bit more cautious.
I don't know if I felt like that. I think I genuinely felt more open-minded, and I had more time for those beliefs because I had wacky beliefs.
I don't think Bob's changed at all.
Me?
No, I actually wrote a note about that. I actually said that, like, I feel like as a listener, Bob was always the skeptical one. Tiss was always the really open-minded one, and Beef was somewhere in the middle. And I feel like you still are in those positions, but just to different levels. So, like, Tiss, for instance, he's the more open-minded one, but he's still a little bit more skeptical than he was at the beginning. And, like, the same with Beef. You're still, like, the middleman, but you are still skeptical. But I think a lot of it is, from my perspective, age is one thing. I think you're all a little bit older, all a little bit more mature, all in different times of your life now. Like, you've all probably got a lot more responsibility than you did at the beginning. But I think a lot of the skepticism, and I'm talking for me personally, is also the climate politically of what we're living now as well. It has a lot to do with it as well.
That stuff will be, I think, talking about.
Yeah.
Probably more on the next few episodes, like, about the way things are now, which could lead to someone being more skeptical. But the interesting thing I noticed about me, actually, is I think almost, even though I've been like, oh, I'm so skeptical now, part of me, even though I sound all like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed on those early episodes, I think was more forefront of being telling everyone how skeptical I was. Because those first episodes, I almost had a catchphrase. I would always say, I don't believe it, but I can't explain it. It was like a running catchphrase I had.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm instantly saying to people, I don't believe this, before we even talk about it. Everything we talk about, I don't believe, but I can't explain it. And I would always introduce myself as like, I'm the atheist, and bring that up.
Yeah.
Whereas now I think I'm more, because I have sort of had my eyes open by some subjects that have surprised me and gone, oh, well, maybe there is something in this.
Mothman.
I don't.
Cryptids.
Mothman, exactly. Yeti. I don't necessarily go straight in and go, I don't believe it. I'm just, so it's weird. I sound more enthusiastic then, but also I'm enthusiastically saying that I don't believe anything. It's really like a mismatch.
Yeah.
To where my mindset is now.
But you, there are two quotes I wrote down from the first episode, right. And I think it sums up you in those early days and probably a bit now as well.
Mm.
The first thing you said, and I wrote it down, this is verbatim, I'm not going to get into what I think about psychics. And then later on...
I wonder why we've never had a psychic on the show.
Exactly, yeah.
Episode one.
But then later on you say you always try to find the logical reason. So I think you're making your stamp in this is, I don't believe it, but you give a reason for it. You give a reason. Your reason is, I need to try and find a logical reason. It's not, you're not being disrespectful. You're not shunning things or not even paying attention. It's just, this is why I do it.
One of the main points that I took out of last week's episode was it depends on who's telling the story.
Exactly.
So when Beef was about the man from Pluto, because it's Beef, because you've known him for so long, it was very much, okay, like, amazing, that's, I can't believe you experienced that. But then if it was just like a random story that you read on the internet, you'd be like, rubs, absolute rubs. Do you know what I mean? So I do think it's like, it depends where the source comes. And I think a lot of it is like a trust thing with who the person is that's telling you it. So if you're just randomly reading it on Lad Bible, then you're going to be like, that's absolute bollocks. Do you know what I mean? So that was like one of the main points that I wrote when I listened to last week's episode, because I'd never thought about it before, but it really highlighted it. And now I've listened to a couple of the older episodes and I've actually thought to myself, actually, that makes a lot of sense. So like the ghost stories that you've mentioned in older episodes, and it's like terrifying, do you know what I mean? But then if you just read it as like on Wikipedia, or you know,
it definitely is source material, isn't it?
Back then we used to do ghost story of the week.
That did make me laugh when you mentioned we should do a ghost story every week. I was like
that's, that would never get old.
Exactly.
With weird news. Weird news is every time skeptical. Like you said, the source material is the Sun and Daily Mail. And it was just...
We go in not wanting to believe it.
I should have listened to the first Weird Tales. The first Weird News.
I didn't think to listen to that, but that might have been quite interesting.
I actually did listen to it. And I just think, like, I don't think you were any less skeptical... in the weird news then.
Weird news was always a fun jaunt into just being absolutely dismissive of everything.
Emma, on that first weird news episode, did Beef talk about that woman setting her vagina on fire?
Yes.
Oh god.
Yes, I did.
Brilliant.
And do you know what I love about weird news is the fact that at the beginning Tiss like absolutely hated it, and he's really optimistic about doing weird news, like the last couple that you guys have done.
What changed his mind was when he got to talk about that woman eating Kentucky.
Kentucky. You know what? I still haven't found that documentary. I've looked online and there's a company that owns the rights to it in Netherlands. And I can't
he's
literally pay for it.
Than he's ever done for an episode.
I literally can't buy it. It's so like VIP, that documentary.
That's so funny.
I love that you've tried to buy it, though. You've tried to get hold of it.
I could contact the company to use it in, like, use it, like, to pay to use
insane.
It. So I could pretend that I'm a TV company that wants to show it on their channel, and then I could...
Why would you do that?
Because I want to watch it again so badly.
Kentucky.
Mate.
Oh, I can't keep laughing. My throat's still hurting, guys.
I seem to remember, and obviously, Emma, you can correct me, because I haven't listened to the first weird news, but I seem to remember from the beginning, I remember thinking, well, this is clearly our like more relaxed episode you know, it's probably a little bit more silly than our normal episodes. And I seem to remember Tiss being really stressed about finding stories and trying to make it seem more like a news article and trying to do the news article like credit. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to listen to it again.
What, he thought it was going to be a serious news show? This is Adam Tissington with the news.
As soon as I had woman lights fanny on fire, it's just like
I read that story that day.
It set the
tone. I just found it. You're scrolling through my phone. I thought I have to mention it. I've got to say something.
Go.
It's weird news.
What made me laugh is on an early episode, I just casually in the middle of a sentence refer to Tiss as Twizzleton, and no one picks up on it. It's not even reflected on. Like,
really?
As if that's what I always call him. I'm like, that's what you just said, Twizzleton.
Twizzleton. Amazing.
So, weird news. The first one's episode 23.
Oh, so it was quite early. Something I noticed on that first episode is that we very clearly set ourselves up that we have different types of episodes to each other as well, to the listeners. We say to them,
yeah,
Bob does paranormal ones, Beef does spiritual ones, and Tiss does extraterrestrial / conspiratorial ones.
Wow.
And we strayed from that quite quickly.
Which is really weird, because Tiss really doesn't do that many extraterrestrial episodes.
Not anymore. Ever.
But I think that's because you guys pulled me in because of the spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think we felt like, okay, well then we need to each have something that is our own thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that's why we did it.
We were so keen in those early days to visit a haunted house. We keep saying we're going to visit a haunted house.
Yeah. That, I wrote that down. I was like, oh, geez.
We keep going on about the ancient ram. We keep going on about the owners of the ancient ram, and it never happened.
That was because Danny lived so close to it, wasn't it?
Well, we had read about it first, and then Danny was like, yeah, it's near to me. So it was like, this is perfect. We're definitely doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And then every episode, like, I listened to 5 episodes. Every one, I'm like, and we're still going to the ancient ram. We're going to be doing that soon, like, at the end of every single one.
But isn't that about the sort of time when Claire and Danny moved away?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, around that time.
So then it was like, oh, well, that's going to get a bit hard. It's a bit harder now for us to just turn up and knock on the door. And rather than, this is Danny, he's, you know, he lives near there. So, yeah, but I wrote down, we would love to go ghost hunting, in quotes, and then with exclamation marks at the end.
Yeah.
I still want to go ghost hunting. I think we should. I think we fucking should.
It's weird because Tiss mentioned it last episode. Like, oh, I'd like to, like, or the one before, one of them recently, he was like, yeah, we should go on like a ghost hunt to a location or something. And it was so weird that Tiss has almost come full circle on that, because we talked about it on the first episode. Then for years, Tiss like, no, I wouldn't want to do anything like that. And then suddenly now he's like, yeah, we should do that.
It's because they're not real anymore. I'm joking. It's because, yeah, I just want my faith restored.
Mm. My other note was that I ended the episode by saying, until next time, stay out of the basement. Tiss hijacked you with Don't Want Your Dog Near the Fucking Bridge. So, Beef, have you got any other notes on episode one?
One thing that surprised me, and I seem to remember... Like, if you'd have asked me about a week ago what I was like in the early episodes, I probably would have remembered myself being a bit more, I don't know, I've written twice here that I seem really focused on sources and where things have come from and who said it, and I mentioned a whole bunch of times in those early episodes, all of them actually, that... I want to be logical, and I was really frustrated at the time that, you know, if you're a Christian, you leave your brain at the door type thing. And but yeah, I just remember wanting to try and dispel that and try and present myself as someone who doesn't do that. So
that's interesting, though, Beef, because, well, I think around the start of the time we started recording is when you would have started around that time your degree, right?
I was about a year into my degree, yeah.
Yeah, so when I think of me, when I was about a year into my degree, I was like a year into, like, I'm a student now, and like sources and things like that. That's like where my head would have been subconsciously after my first year of studying, because you have to adjust in that first year to like sources. Where did this come from? Where did that come from? Blah, blah, blah. So that to me is a side effect of you being a relatively new, mature learner.
I think so, and I wonder how much of it, like how much I would have done that if I hadn't have studied anything. I still feel like I would have come into it wanting to dispel that myth.
Mm.
You know, that if you're religious, or if you're a Christian, then you're an idiot and you don't think logically. So I think I was trying hard to, yeah, like make it seem like I do check my sources and I do listen to reason and logic. So that surprised me.
I think, like, from a listener's perspective, who doesn't know a great deal of people who are overly religious, I do think that you kind of changed my thought of people who are religious, because it's just, you know, ignorance from my part, but like, but you aren't your stereotypical, like, Ned Flanders type character.
Phew.
Oh, Beef, me and Emma have come round on Ned Flanders. We love him. We think he's a really great guy.
We love him.
He's actually a really nice person. Like, I'd much rather hang out with Ned than Homer.
Did you not previously then?
Well, yeah, but he was annoying. I used to laugh at Ned, but now I'm just like, no, Ned's really sweet. He's a really nice person.
He's so
really
sweet and
him.
Wholesome. He, like, lends Homer all his stuff, and Homer, like, abuses him.
He's the nicest character in the whole of Springfield. Like,
so,
I love
wait a minute, wait a minute. Saving Homer from a burning building by bouncing off a mattress into a window isn't nice enough for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just laughing at the situation. Now I'm thinking of all the times where Ned's really, like, giving advice and stuff. Like, oh, he's a really great guy.
It's more like now appreciate him rather than just be like, oh, he's the neighbour.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, he's a great person. I'd like to know him in real life.
I remember watching The Simpsons when I was about, I don't know, maybe 15, and getting annoyed at the writers and being like, oh, that's not what Christians are like. When obviously the reason they've written him like that is that's the stereotypical Christian person. That's who they would, in America anyway, if you were try to illustrate or write a character who's a Christian in the States, it would be Ned Flanders. So, no, but that is reassuring. That's kind of what I wanted to do.
That's purely my opinion, just because I don't know very many people who are religious. So I've not been around people who actively go to church every week or actively have a...
Yeah, we hide in the shadows.
But the thing is, I love religion. I would say I'm more like Tiss. I'm very spiritual. I'm very agnostic. So I would say in terms of, like, my spirituality and my religion, I'm more like Tiss than... I would never ever say I'm atheist because I'm not.
Hang on a minute. You're more like Tiss than, just say it, than Bob.
Than Bob Shoyer, atheist that he is.
I am fascinated by all religions. Just because I don't believe in them doesn't mean I dismiss them.
Yeah, but going back at the beginning, you didn't come across like that.
That's interesting. I think you're right there because even episode... So I listened to episode 2 as well. And even though by episode 10 and especially 25, I'm definitely saying, oh, I'm very open-minded for someone who declares themselves as an atheist. And I'm constantly saying how much I hate modern atheism and new atheists, which at the time we started recording were very prominent. But I think by just purely for the fact that on those early episodes, I am saying a few times that I'm an atheist. I think I come across maybe as one of those people, which I really wasn't. But it's interesting, on episode 2, Beef, you introduced the show by saying, just so listeners know, I'm a Christian and these guys are both atheists.
Oh, did I?
And Tiss doesn't correct you, and Tiss doesn't say he's agnostic until like a few episodes later.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Maybe I didn't hear it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I wonder whether, because I didn't notice that at all. I feel like I would have written that down if I'd have, either that or it's just... I feel like, maybe at least the first few episodes, Tiss is probably polite. And not that you're not polite normally, Tiss, just more, sit back and take in what's going on. So, you're not the sort of person to jump in and be like, actually, I think you'll find.
Yeah.
I'm not an atheist.
No, but that's like one of the charming things about you guys is the fact that you agree on most things, but the things that you don't necessarily agree on, you're not mean about it. Like, because you're all friends, you all respect each other's wishes. None of you are like absolute as a person. Do you know what I mean? So,
you know what? People are actually allowed to have nuance. It's something that is miraculous that we all happen to think. If you like something I don't like, it doesn't offend me in any way.
Exactly.
When people get offended that someone doesn't like a fucking film they like, it's like, so what?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
it's crazy to me, that stuff.
It's very Twitter culture now, more rather than like in 2015, that if someone doesn't like something, like, they get so annoyed.
It's bonkers to me.
It's frustrating.
If Beef said his favourite film was Reservoir Dogs, and then I said, well, I actually think that film's shit, we would both go, all right, we wouldn't have a row about it and like defend the film's honour.
No.
It's really fucking it's cringy. Bonkers.
That's what I mean. Like, it's very Twitter culture, and I know people have taken a massive step back from social media for those reasons.
Yeah.
Shit, that doesn't matter.
I feel a lot better after taking a step back from social media. I feel a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
I think for me, it depends on... so I can browse through Facebook and find it quite... like it's neither here nor there, but I definitely find it to be way less negative than it was. And it's really funny because I kind of came off of Facebook and went on to Twitter to get away from the Facebook negativity. And now I'm not on Twitter because it got to that point where... And like Rachel was saying the other day, she's like, I've noticed a real difference in your demeanor, your attitude has changed because you're not, even if I was only going on Twitter for like a few minutes, like you can't help but find something that annoys you or is like abusive. And it's like, you just think it's amazing what that does to you.
And this goes back to the point I made at the beginning about how I feel like it's genuinely a culture change about like our surroundings, our political platform and everything that's just going on at the moment. Everything is so negative, whereas Twitter 5 years ago was all memes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? People just taking the piss, but like jokingly.
You know what changed it? You know why Twitter's got much worse? It's because they changed the character count.
Yeah.
So people say more and you've got more of an opportunity to share your opinion. The genius behind Twitter was that you only had that short, like, few sentences to get something out, and it wasn't enough for trolls to just abuse and spew vitriol. Like, it wasn't there.
Well, the sort of people who troll can't articulate their words into, like, a smaller amount.
No, so they need that time to create threads. Threads is the worst thing that's happened to Twitter. It's like one of 15.
I'll be honest, half of the stuff I tweet is threads.
But that's a bit different, though, when you're... because you're not abusing someone.
Did you see the thread I posted on Monday that was, like, 30 parts long?
No, I've not seen it. I'm not on it.
No, it was... it's a joke thread, but it's really long. So, Tis, did you listen to any other episodes apart from episode one?
I watched a bit... I listened to a bit of Number Stations.
Oh, Number Stations. So that's episode three.
Yes.
Yeah, so we talked about episode one. I listened to two, and like I said, it was just interesting. We really lay out what belief is to all of us on that. And B says about, you know, needing authority and experience in his sources and stuff like that. And stuff like that. It was just really interesting, but there wasn't too much I didn't think that was different about us in that one. But Tis, what did you notice in episode three?
I think on my episodes, I guess I can talk a bit more. So I was just trying to have an episode where I actually spoke. But yeah, I mean, I was well into Number Stations for sure. I think we all were. I think we were very...
It was one of the topics we really wanted to do from the get-go.
That episode's probably the strongest.
And from a listener's perspective, Number Stations is actually one of my favourites.
It really hooked people on,
I've listened to it so many times. But I didn't actually know what Number Stations was until I listened to that episode. And then... I got hooked because I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, oh my God, how do I not know about this? Especially because I studied Russian-Soviet politics. So I'm like, how the hell did I not know? So yeah, it's one of my favourites.
It was the first regular type of Weird Tales episode as well.
Yeah.
Like one and two on like regular type of episodes, but that was like one of us hosts it, Tis, and it's about a subject that he had researched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But did you, what did you notice in it that's different about you or about us?
What in terms of versus the episode one?
In terms of now.
In terms of now.
Compared to now, yeah.
I haven't listened to a new episode, but I guess if I was to compare the feeling, that Number Stations one is like, it's a bad comparison because that is quite novel in the sense that we all didn't know anything about Number Stations. Not even like, oh, I've heard of them. Like, literally nothing. And then it was like being told something is real and then going, nah. And then listening and being like, oh, fuck, it actually is. And Yeah, it was just crazy. It was a crazy episode.
I remember getting excited in it.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I was thinking, I remember midway through that episode, I actually got excited and thought, this podcast could be really good. Because the first two were quite novel in a different way, and that was the first one, which was like a regular episode. And when you were talking about it, and we were getting excited, and then we was like listening to the clips,
yeah,
and we was like, should we try and call one of these things? I remember thinking, this is fun. Like, this has a really fun tone, and I think we have a good show, the seeds of a good show here.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, I should have listened to more, because that, I think that is quite unique, Number Stations, in a sense that I could tell, even listening to it, but I remember very vividly just it blowing everything out of the water, just listening to those clips. The clips are so weird, and the choice of sample they chose to use, and still just don't know what the hell they are. And they, like, they're not even like, do they exist? Like, they literally do.
From a skeptical point of view, I think it's really interesting to analyze that one, because you on that episode were like, yeah, it's a thing.
That's true. And there was, we're like, all so excited.
Yeah, and there's no like debate about, like,
we weren't cynical to coin rubs yet.
But rubs is now part of my vocabulary. Like, I use it in everyday life now. But what I mean is, because I think, as Tis sort of said, like, you hadn't heard it, and then you heard the samples and you're like, oh shit, like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Whereas with episodes now, even if they are believable, you all have that strict skepticism in you to be like,
yeah,
is
that's
it?
Sad.
Like, but I just think that that's how people are nowadays. People are generally more skeptical. It's not just you guys. I can see it in myself, and I don't understand.
Yeah, the world has made us more that way.
Yeah.
It's because of fake news, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's because all of us, I think I grew up, and I would say this of all of us, I think we all grew up with the understanding, you know, there's that specific, I always come back to this this clip from Extras when they talk about him glugging the wine in the pub, in the restaurant. And
did he glug?
And they're like, the paper said, like, it says you glugged. And he's like, they're papers, they make stuff up. And Barry and Stephen Merchant, they're like, look at each other like, no, it says it's in the paper. And I think it was, the joke is obviously these two idiots that believe, the joke is on them as the idiots that believe what's in the paper. It says you glugged.
Yeah.
I didn't glug. I was the person. They make stuff up. It's a newspaper. And I think all of a sudden, 5 years ago, all of a sudden, I think the Western world was like, oh, actually, a lot more people believe what they read than we previously thought. This is quite scary.
Yeah, it was shocking to me to realise how most people believe the shit that's on the internet and in papers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is all to do with kind of a combination between, like, of being able to read the news whenever the hell you want, but also, like, you, because of, like, Facebook and things like that, you always have, like, your mum or your aunt who will share a post from 5 years ago. It's total bollocks. Yeah. You're just like, have you not read that that's, like, five years ago? Do you know what I mean? But people are sharing it and then believing it.
Yeah.
It's, like, sharing crap like that. And, like, it's a generational thing between being able to spot what's absolute clickbait and being able to spot what's genuine.
Yeah.
So, an episode I listened to, I think maybe some of you guys did as well, was episode 10. And I actually found this one very interesting.
What was 10?
10 was Life, Death and Existence.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I definitely listened.
So I listened to it because it was the first discussion episode, and it's interesting how when we introduced that, I said, we're going to do this every 10 episodes. No. But we're really punchy on it straight away. We're totally relaxed into the podcast. We're still really eager. I'm really like shucking and jiving when we click on. So I'm losing my voice a little bit. But I'm like, hey, this is Bob Shaw. I'm joined by these clowns and like really being silly. Talking about the ancient realm again, and but we really do sort of get into some heavier stuff after we joined. We've gained our confidence by this point, but we're getting into like heavier stuff as well. And it has a different tone to some of the stuff that came first. So, Beef, did you notice anything about episode 10?
Yeah, you seem really conflicted in this episode, and you can really tell there's like an internal struggle with your own belief system going on.
Cut this,
but when I recorded
we won't cut it.
Four and One More with Bob last week,
this is what I'm about to come on to.
Honestly, because we were talking about this episode, I don't know how these guys did not do an intervention for me.
This is the most obvious... this guy is in complete denial about his depression episode I've ever heard of anyone. I've written down some quotes of things I say in this episode, right? So in this episode, I say, I quote, "Why do I care if I live? I could die tomorrow. So what? I don't care if I die. This is a struggle. So why bother? I don't think I'm suicidal."
And you literally said, "Oh, a girlfriend broke up with me because I was so depressing."
Yeah, like there's so much stuff where I'm just constantly saying like, "No, I'm not depressed," but and like completely in denial about anything that was going on with me. And I've talked about this stuff on the pod at various points, whatever, and struggled with depression and stuff as a teenager, this, that, and the other. But all this time when I'm so like cha-cha-cha, being silly, being like hosting the episode with all this pizzazz, was not long before I was first properly described to be on antidepressants. Yet I'm here completely in denial about like what is on the horizon and stuff that would really sort of shape my life for the years after it. It was really surreal to listen to how much in denial I am on this one. It was the real shocking one for me.
But also, there's one similar to that where you're super in denial about going to uni and then you go to uni.
Oh my God. Being like a student, you having all these debts, it's like a load, like I'd never do that. Then all of a sudden.
We had someone that was at uni on the show and Bob was like grilling him like, "Why should I go to uni, motherfucker?"
I did say that.
So funny. And then just
the
went to uni.
The next episode, I was like, "It's time for me to eat crow."
I did say that to him before. I thought that was really funny. Because I was really surprised when Bob was like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing a degree." And I was like, "What?"
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm still doing it. And I'm like, "What?"
But I think the reason we didn't have like an intervention
is because I've always said those miserable things.
You've always said those things. So that's and we know that's who you are. And
yeah,
it's wild. I'm laughing all the way through it, which is just me. But it's very evident to me, like, oh, this is someone who's kind of not face up to like the facts, and not intentionally.
But it's really nice. Like for you to sort of reflect upon that, being where you are now and just being like, oh shit, I realize now that I was in a really dark,
right,
being reflective of that now.
And this episode as well.
I was just gonna say, I wrote down one quote which was really interesting to me, and I think this is where you really nail your colors to the mast about your own belief, in that you would call yourself an atheist, but you're not really an atheist because you don't you don't believe in the same things as other atheists. So you say we can't just say that we're worm food. You can't just become nothing. And then later on in the episode, you say, "I don't care if I die because I am nothing."
Oh God, I didn't write that one. That's another terrible one.
But it was interesting to me, and interesting for our listeners, I guess, that you pretty much, you sum up your own contradiction, and you I think the earlier episodes you probably tried to articulate it, but in this episode you really are really vulnerable and just say it. Like, I don't believe in an afterlife, but we can't just be nothing. And you're really interested in Tiss's ideas about energy going back into the universe and stuff like that.
I think that's like a lot to do with your open-mindedness, though. Atheists are just genuinely closed-minded people. Obviously, I'm just generalising. I'm not speaking for everyone, because some people I know that are atheists are very open-minded, but they can also be a bit stubborn. So I do think that speaks for your open-mindedness more.
I have written here, Beef and Tiss are both convinced that I am borderline agnostic on this episode because I struggled with the idea of death of consciousness.
Yeah.
I think it's because, so I've got some notes here on episode 2, and then we're going back some episodes now.
Oh yeah, sorry, I didn't realise you listened to episode 2.
No, but I just, I think one thing, and I completely forgot I did this, but at the start of the episode, I read out those point, almost like points about belief.
Oh, the 6-point belief. Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah. And I found that interesting at the time, and I still found it interesting to listen to it now. And I wonder whether that got you both thinking a bit more about, and then in preparation for episode 10, even though we didn't know that's what we were going to do, it probably set a lot of things in motion about what you actually think. It really interested me that, Bob, you're multiple times, you're like really open to it, and you keep saying it's really interesting, you'd freak out. Tiss, and I quote, says that he would breeze the encounter with the witch doctor.
Oh my God, no, you would not.
I would what? Breathe it?
And I just...
Breeze it. Yeah, for sure.
Breeze through it.
Kindred souls.
No change.
And I was like, I just sat there like...
Kindred souls.
Just sat there laughing to myself.
But then I even said the same thing last episode of Rick, how it was Rick brought up that episode. And I was saying about how I don't know why, but the thought of going in there is scary to me still now. Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
But I wonder whether the talking about belief in episode 2 set things in motion for episode 10, where we talk about it in a lot more depth.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And actually, in some ways, we're still the same. But it's hard to pinpoint our differences, I think.
It was a real recurring theme. We really were like, I think we realized we had something unique with the show when it came to our belief systems. Obviously, we've known each other for so long since school. And even though we have sort of different ways of approaching things and different belief systems, our core, it never really came into being anything that would affect the way we are around each other.
Mm.
And I really wanted to capture that on the show because, like Emma said, like, oh, you know, hearing Beef talk on the show changed your way you think of people who say they identify as Christian. And we've actually had loads of emails like that over the years, and I think that's awesome. And that was one of the things I was really hoping for at the beginning when we talk about religious stuff, because maybe early on I was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't talk about spirituality and religious stuff so much because it's going to put people off because they don't want to hear that stuff. And actually, after we did episode 2, I was like, nah, fuck it, I want to lean into that stuff because it's what we've got that's unique. I like listening to Beef talk about that stuff. I'm not a Christian, so maybe other people will too. And actually, I think they did. Even if they didn't believe, if Beef did like a particularly spiritual heavy episode, I don't think it made anyone tune out, even if they didn't have a particular faith, because it's interesting to hear about other people's experiences and other people's lives and other people's beliefs in the same way that I'm interested in listening to, you know, people from all over the world and the way they live. It's interest in other people
going hand in hand. Like, I feel the same way, like, as you have just explained about Beef. Like, I absolutely love him sort of talk about his spirituality, but I also love listening about Tiss and his like spiritualism from a different perspective as well. So it's spiritualism as a general term, but from different angles is really interesting as well.
So Tiss, how would you think your identification of your own spirituality has changed over the years? Do you think it's the same, or are you less open to stuff? Because I can't remember, I haven't got any quotes, because especially we'll come to it on episode 25, you were talking about different belief systems and Taoist readings and Buddhist readings and things. You were really into reading all this stuff at the time.
Yeah, I think that was when I was going through a period of exploring it and stuff like that. I don't think I've got any less spiritual, even though I'd said in the previous episode I've become a lot less. But I don't think it is, like we said with the tarot, that's quite spiritual. I think I'm just less vocal about it because I don't need to bounce it off anyone anymore. Whereas before, I was very vocal about it because I was exploring it via bouncing it off by saying it and then seeing what reactions and also getting into it.
So, like, you've experienced something that is new at the time, was new to you, and you're learning new things. It's like if you learn a new hobby, you're like, oh my God, listen to what I've... And you just want to tell people that you care about, like, look at this interesting thing that I've just discovered.
Yeah.
And
even if it's a new TV show you just discovered.
Exactly. You're just like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, totally.
I wrote down in episode 10... Tiss goes into some detail about... Bobby asks a question about what we believe when it comes to the afterlife. Yeah. And When I listened to it again, I was just as confused by what Tis was saying last night when I listened to the episode.
Oh yeah, there's a bit where you get completely lost. It's really funny.
And
this is some wild stuff. Yeah,
knowing you now and knowing you, I think you just articulate it more clearly. Whereas at the time, like you say, you were bouncing ideas off, and I just sat there like, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, you're like, I'll be honest, Tis, I have no idea what you just said. Yeah. It's really funny. And then I try and re-articulate it, and it's, you're like, well, kind of.
You went, I've written down afterlife, Tis, total mystery, we won't know till it happens. But there's infinite life, and your consciousness is spread to other people. and I've just written down in brackets what, because I just remember being really confused then, and then really confused when I listened to it recently. But I know, obviously, now I know, and it makes complete sense, but I think you just articulate it more clearly. Because at the time, you were just like, well, I think it's this, and
yeah,
this is what makes sense to me. What do you think? But Bobby was right in there. Bobby completely understood what you were talking about, I think.
I think me and Tis had talked about that stuff in my kitchen one night, so I was already kind of ready
right
for it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes after we used to play, we used to have the EOE nights, and we used to drink tea. Sometimes me and Tis would just chat in the kitchen, having a cup of tea about shit after the game. And I think it came up one of those nights.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that in a darker place, when things aren't going your way and think, you know, you're a bit down, do you feel like you are so much more open to conspiracy theories? Because I always find myself, like, when I'm having a bit of a rubbish time and I'm up and down and, like, really not happy with the way things are going, I always feel like I just go
like
down
it's an
rabbit
escape.
Like, I always go down all these rabbit holes, like...
No.
Just Reddit is, like, my best friend when I'm depressed.
No, when I'm in a pit, I don't care about anything.
But this, obviously, before children, I used to just lay in bed... And, like, I'd never wanted to get up, and I just scroll for conspiracy theories more than I do when I'm in a better place.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I don't know what it is, and I think it's, like, obviously listening to the news does bring my, like, my mental health, it does bring it down if I listen to the news and things like that. So by sort of listening to a conspiracy theory about the government, like, being... you know, doing whatever the government are doing, I'm like, yes, the government are assholes because they're doing this. So that conspiracy theory about what the government are doing behind our back must be true. Do you know what I mean? I'm more inclined to accept it and to want to go down and want to research more when I'm feeling down than when I'm having a really good day. Because I'm having a good day, I'm like completely skeptical. I'm like, that's bollocks.
No, I'm not at all. I'm just reckless, I think. So the way my depression works is kind of weird. It spikes about once a year, pretty bad, for an undetermined amount of time. But it's very unpredictable how it will affect me each time. But the only thing that's consistent is I'm incredibly reckless around that time, and I really don't care about, like, the side effects of my actions. And I will say things to people that I wouldn't normally say, like be particularly rude or break stuff or be more angry about things, or basically my emotions get, it's like they're crosswired. There's like every now and then something happens in my brain where all my emotions go in short circuit, and to the point where I feel like the wrong emotion to something I'm looking at. Like, I'll look at a lamppost and feel envy, or I'll look at the, it's really weird. And I, every year I go, okay, this time I need to seriously get some therapy. And then it passes and I don't.
At least you know now, like, you've identified that.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any better. I would actually say every year it gets a little bit worse. Next year I'm pretty sure I have to get some therapy, but that's another matter.
Does any of you guys feel like that? Like, when you're feeling in, like, a bit of a crap place, do you ever just, like, kind of deal with it by going inside myself. So I stop socializing. And I'm such a bubbly, outgoing person.
So more willing to believe.
I would trust more people on
the outside. Yeah,
I would trust more people on like a chat room board notice about, I don't know, who killed Ramsay than I would trust, you know, a member of my family or extended family, because I'm like, I don't know, like, I just don't understand. But I always feel like I read conspiracy theories and weird tales and things like that more when I'm in a bad place than when I'm in a good place. Like, I don't know why.
I can relate to that.
No, I think with me, my issue with the news and or watching the news and it bringing me down, it's not that I do find it depressing, but I think it's more that I watch it in frustration, thinking someone's going to watch this and it's going to really send them off the rails, or it's going
to
really...
Yeah, you can handle it, but someone else might not be able to.
Yeah. So, like, today, for example, the news was on this morning, and it was the BBC, and it was, like, headline news that if you've had two jabs, then the antibodies wane. After about 6 months, your protection will start to wane. And I'm watching it thinking, well, we know that. That's how vaccines work, and you do tend to need one every year to keep your antibodies high to that disease. But someone else is going to watch that and go, oh, well, what's the point in the vaccines then? They don't work.
Yeah.
And so I find it annoying, because I'm thinking this is irresponsible of the BBC to report in that way, because the language they use is going to be ammo for anti-vaxxers, because they'll watch it and be like, see, I knew it all along. I knew it. These vaccines don't work. Whereas anyone would probably... You know, other people probably watch it, like myself this morning, and I was like, well, this isn't news, because we know this, that's just science. That's how vaccines work.
This is why I don't watch the news. That sounds absolutely miserable.
Exactly.
Well, it's not, I wasn't watching it. It was like just after Joel had finished watching TV. It was like happened
Joel
to catch
was watching
it. Flicking through.
Blame it on Joel. I wasn't watching it. Joel was watching it. See, Dad?
But, I think the reason
Joel's gathering information about if he should get the vaccine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think so I think that's probably. But my what, yeah, I don't. I maybe don't suffer in quite the same ways as you, Bob. But I think I think the reason I come off of Twitter is because it takes me down these rabbit holes, and I maybe don't believe what I'm reading. Yeah. But it just brings me lower and lower. Yeah. And so I don't tend to believe them more, but it just, before you know it, you're looking at someone's post and you've never met them before. You would never normally talk to them in normal life. They have no value to you whatsoever. But all of a sudden, what you're reading is gospel, and that's worrying. It's like, oh, it's, and you, I find myself in this fog of a bit of anger and frustration. And that's usually when Rachel knows that I've been on social media, or maybe I've, I don't know, caught the news that day. Yeah.
Have you been at the news again?
Yeah, exactly. But it feeds your skepticism. But my granddad made a really good point. We were talking about it, and he said, the thing is, he said, when I was working, I would wake up in the morning, catch the news at 6 before I left for work, and then go to work. And then for the rest of the day, there was nothing. You know, I might have a phone call. He said, I might have had a phone call at lunchtime from your nan. He said, otherwise, it was just work. And I spoke to my colleagues about work, and that's it. He said, and then we come home, have dinner, watch the news at 6. And then that was it. So you got the news twice a day in two little segments. And he said, and it was a very small portion of your day. And it took up a very small portion of your brain space. And he said, the problem is now... And we alluded to it earlier that it's constant, and it's not just constant, but you can't filter out the, I mean, most, I would like to think some people can, but lots of people can't filter out what's real, what's not, what's absolute crap, what's a photo that was taken in a completely different location or a different time or with different, or it's been photoshopped, you know, it's constant. It's like rammed into your face the whole time if you allow it. So, that's interesting.
That's how I go about my news consumption, though. I have a look what's going on in the world on my phone on the toilet before I go to work. Yeah. So that doesn't take me long.
News.
I'm quite efficient. have a scroll. And then...
You haven't got IBS, mate.
I don't really go and look. I don't look at my phone really again in terms of that stuff until... Might have another look when I get home from work. But then I don't sit on my sofa at night scrolling on my phone.
No.
So I check the news twice a day on my phone. So I maybe have the same relationship to news as back in those days.
Healthy.
But Tis, what about what Emma said? Are you more inclined to be accepting of outlandish ideas if you're like feeling lower?
Yeah. Not too sure, but I'd definitely say it's something I could look into because I definitely feel a lot happier now and I'm a lot less persuaded by them, shall I say. And back in the days at the start of the podcast, I probably was very, very low at the time. Mm. So maybe that led me to look for answers in other places. I think what Emma was saying also struck a chord because it's like when you said about you're more inclined to believe something on a message board than your own family or someone close to you. And I think that is everyone gets to a certain point where everyone they know has sort of, I don't know, there's like this watershed moment where you realize that actually life isn't as simple as everyone knows what's going on. No one knows what's going on. And since no one knows what's going on, and I personally have lived under the assumption that the people around me who would tell me what to do or what to think would know themselves what was going on. And then when I found out they didn't, but they were still, you know, had the arrogance to tell me what was going on, then it was like everything just dissolved. And it was like, well, I've got to start again from scratch now because everything I thought was true could be wrong. And now I've got to a point where I've kind of built up what I hope is... not real, but close enough.
So I listened to episode 12. I don't know if anyone else listened to that. I sort of plucked it because I was like, well, this is about conspiracies. And that is something that we're very skeptical of that sort of stuff now. And we kind of are sick of talking about conspiracy theories. So I thought I'd listen to the first time we ever looked at conspiracies, and it was a TIS episode. And at the time we said first in a series of our conspiracy theories episodes.
Yeah.
And TIS just threw out a bit like episode one where I threw out some notorious stories. He just threw out like, here's a load of conspiracies and sort of just, what do you think about that? Very similar to episode one. So the ones he talked about were Hitler and Die Glocke and Hitler running away to Argentina, which at the time we were like, yeah, we should definitely do more weird Nazi stuff. Definitely do some crazy Hitler stories. We still have never visited that. And I think that is a juicy topic for some weird tales.
Yeah.
We also talked about simulation theory big time. And it was the first time we really talked about it. And that's something that's come up so much. And me and Rick even did a whole episode on it recently as well. But the thing that's weird about it, I talked about simulation theory in episode one or two, like brought it up as like a cool concept. And when Tis brings it up on this, I'm acting like it's the first time I've ever heard of it. I'm like, what is it? What is it? I talked about it like seven episodes previously. It's really weird.
That's so funny.
Wow, never heard of it. Also, I say I've got quite another quote here for my head in the sand approach to my life. Quote, why do I live? it's in episode 12 from me.
Do you know what? It's funny you keep like saying all these different quotes. Is when I first started listening to you guys, I was going through like a lot of life changing stuff, and it was quite a downtime in my life. And you guys always cheered me up, but you saying all these things, I'm like how did this like depressed guy cheer me up? And I was in a bad mood.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's so funny.
It's interesting. This is one point where I can pinpoint how my feelings have changed completely, though. And it is to do with my emotional state and my acceptance of like, yeah, I just have to live with the fact that my like brain chemicals are fucked. Because in this, when we talk about simulation theory, all I can think about is if this is real, it's incredibly depressing. how can I go on thinking that simulation theory is possible? But when me and Rick talked about it recently, I was like, well, if simulation is real and we are living in a simulation, then we just accept that as our form of life and we should enjoy it as much as we can, which is mental, because now I'm like, I know I'm someone who suffers from depression, but it's because I know it. I'm more relaxed and can be like, well, if it's a simulation, we should be enjoy what we have, and it doesn't really make a difference, does it? But then I was like, that's such a depressing idea. How can we possibly go on if we know we live in a simulation? So that was interesting, how my opinion on that completely changed as my acceptance of my emotional state had changed. We also talked about MKUltra, which we did a whole new full-on episode of years later. And we talked about Fakespear, which we did a full-on episode of later. It was the first time we ever talked about Fakespear, in which Beef says, when talking about Fakespear, quote, if you believe Shakespeare didn't exist, then you are a dick. And then did a whole episode years later disproving. So there's a change in Beef's opinion on stuff.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. I said, if you don't believe in Shakespeare, if you don't believe Shakespeare existed,
you're a dick.
Well, that's nothing to do with the episode, is it? Yeah. I spent the whole episode talking about his literature, didn't I?
But when you did your episode on Fakespear, years later, you said...
You were all on the fence, all of you. Mm.
Yeah, you were like, oh, maybe he wasn't. You had all this evidence. You're like, yeah, it's completely possible that maybe... But in this, you are, when Tis brings it up on episode 12, you are so anti the whole thing. What a ludicrous conspiracy. This is stupid. Anyone who believes this is a dick. It's the first time you really get on your high horse and like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who's got anything to gain from it? Who's got any... No, why... You're really getting riled up on it. It's really funny.
That's hilarious.
So it's funny to think you would be the one who would host an episode all about it years later and would be on the fence and get us all on the fence.
I love that.
I was not arguing that Penguin could benefit from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, I don't remember that.
So that's
maybe I was extra angry that day.
It's such a really fun episode. I really enjoyed listening to that one. But the main things I noticed is I've completely flip-flopped on my... how I would emotionally react to the idea of simulation theory, and Beef is completely flip-flopped on, like, Fakespear doesn't even warrant the time of day to consider to, like, I'm going to host a whole episode about how this might be real.
Yeah. I think I found it interesting that at least they changed a couple of the sort of authorship stuff on a couple of his plays.
Mm.
But yeah, I find it weird that... people dedicate their whole time to trying to debunk the rest of his stuff. Mm. I didn't realise that Mark Rylance was so far into it. I didn't realise it was a really big deal.
That's what we talked about on your Fakespear thing. We had clips from Rylance on it. So what was interesting about the conspiracies one is we're so excited to be tackling conspiracy theories. Tis is so eager. Oh, conspiracies, I can't believe they're. This is going to be such a main focus point of the podcast. It's so fun. We're all so keen on conspiracy theories, and
now you're the opposite.
Yeah, like we don't have the same, you know, vigor for conspiracy theories as we had then.
Well, I think it's just we've heard so many of them.
Or do we, Tis? Do you still have? Would you still want to do like conspiracy? Are you still eager on conspiracy theories?
No.
just absolutely not.
But spoiler alert, I am going to be doing another conspiracy theory episode, like that one where I just pick a grab bag of loads of random stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
On the next series?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's exciting then. We're delving back into the past. We're like we're coming full circle on it.
Literally.
There's some episodes that we mentioned that, like, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that on these early ones. I'm like, we never did that. There's some really good ideas. And I was like making notes of them. There's at least stuff that would be good for me and Rick to talk about. Because, like, some stuff, there's not enough for us. Like, me, Beef, and Tis talked about chemtrails on that episode for a little bit. And we kind of said what we needed to say. But I think I could talk about it with Rick because it's someone different. And so maybe we could do something like that. I don't think we would do a full episode on chemtrails and weird tales because we kind of covered it early on.
What Bob's not telling you is he's actually secretly going to replace one of you with Rick.
Or both.
That's how I feel.
Replacing both of them with Rick, yeah.
But the funny thing is, Rick is actually more sceptical than you are, Bob.
Well, I know. That's why he's good to have on, because he's pure sceptical.
It's literally like, okay, Bob is the most sceptical of you three, but then Rick is like a whole new level.
When I'm on those episodes with Rick, it's almost refreshing to have me being like the one who's trying to like convince him, you know? No, it might not be Rick. Come back.
Yeah.
I might as well be a Christian on those episodes.
I think the part of the reason that we maybe we get more skeptical or we get less enthusiastic is because we've all done the same thing where you go to research an episode that you think is going to be a real juicy episode.
Oh, definitely.
And after about 10 minutes, you're like, I'm bored to death. Like, there's so many times I wanted to do lycanthropy. Mm-hmm. And then each time I feel like maybe I just wasn't in the right frame of mind to research it before. And then I go back like, no, it's just really boring. It's just really boring, which is interesting because it's not too dissimilar to Dracula. And we went to frigging Romania because of it.
Yeah.
So I just find it really interesting that some episodes really grip you and others just...
I think we could still do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, like, I feel like that about some of the...
Well, they're boring.
Like,
yeah,
I've
thanks.
No. I've literally listened to like every single episode, and even if it's on a subject that I'm not that interested in, can't think of any off the top of my head, but like, I'm like, oh, I'll just give it a listen because I enjoy listening to you guys. But there are some episodes that I'm a bit like, that's not really my cup of tea, but I'll listen to it anyway, and I end up enjoying it. And actually, so like a good example is when you guys spoke about sacred geometry. I had never heard of it, and I was a bit like, oh, you know, this, I don't think this is going to be my cup of tea. And I'm not even joking. Like, I said this to Bob before.
Yeah, you've mentioned this
after
before.
That episode, I literally could not stop researching
really?
It. So it just goes to show you to...
You probably researched it more than Tiss did, because he said this is going to be a two-parter.
Exactly.
Then halfway through the second part, he gave up on it and started talking about something else.
And, like, it still is something that really fascinates me, but sort of looking at it and as a new episode, I'm like, oh... I don't think this is going to be like one that I'm going to listen to again. But then I'm like, oh, actually, this is amazing.
We've had that message from listeners quite a few times, though, where they'll say, actually, the ones they find most interesting are the things they've never heard of before. They go, oh, I don't know if you care about that. And they listen and they go, whoa. And it's opened their eyes to something new. And I'm always like that. If one of the guys brings a topic to the table, which I know nothing about.
Yeah.
I've instantly got like a little bit more interest because I'm like, tell me about it. What is this thing? You know?
So another episode like that I love that I didn't think I'd love is dinosaurs.
Oh yeah, that was silly.
I loved dinosaurs.
Yeah, I loved that one. That was one of mine, but I loved doing that one because I love dinosaurs.
Yeah, it was really fun. That was sort of not too far around like Middle Ages, and we had some really good ones around there.
Yeah, we had a really, really fun run of episodes around that time.
Yeah.
I think that's changed as well. I think maybe to begin with, a lot of the subject matter was all the typical stuff. And now we've been doing it for so long. It's not that we're running out of material. It's just that we've had to think more broadly and think, okay, well, there's only so many times we can talk about cryptids or a conspiracy theory. So we've had to branch out a little bit and broaden, you know, it still fits within the subject matter. And so actually, you know, talking about dinosaurs is really fun. And it's not that the other subjects aren't fun, it's just it's a little bit of a different like flavour, it's a bit of a different vibe.
But there's some episodes that aren't necessarily fun subjects, but they're super engaging and interesting, like Zodiac.
And Holocaust Denial is one of my favourite episodes, and it's so depressing, but I love it.
Yeah, I remember we recorded that one with Rachel.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's still the only one that Rachel's listened to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I listened to 25 as well, Belief. I thought this was like, I was like, it's about belief. This is going to be juicy. This is about what we believe in.
Yeah, I listened to 25 as well.
Did you have much to pull from it? Because I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really interesting episode, but it didn't really give me anything to bring up. I was just like, this is a really... I think it's the first time we had a guest on for a discussion.
Yeah.
And we had Swifty, and we had a really good chat between the four of us. But I enjoyed listening to it, but I didn't make any notes. I was just like, this is a really good episode. And that was it.
I just ran out of time to listen to them, to be honest. But yeah, I seem to remember it being pretty like a good episode, but not exactly one that would help us in this one.
I thought it would, because I thought, oh, we talk about belief. Maybe there's going to stuff come up about skepticism and stuff, but it really didn't. It was just, yeah, it was just an interesting chat about just what we all individually believe and stuff. Yeah. They're the ones that I listened to. Did anyone else listen to any others? No.
No.
Not for me.
No, me neither. I mean, I listen to sort of ones, but it's all, I don't feel like it's anything worth sort of mentioning. You guys are all the same people. Like, I do feel like you've changed slightly, but I do think that it's a lot to do with, like I've said repeatedly, just what's going on in the world, what's going on with you guys personally, what you've got going on, but also, like, we've all grown up in 5 years and we're at the pivotal point in all of our lives. We're all very similar ages, where when you kind of go from being 20 to 30, such a life-changing point of your life, where you go from just minimum wage to then actually making a career and making, like, solid life choices, that they also have an opinion and of, you know, what you're skeptical of or what your beliefs are, or you know, all these factors of who you are as a person and what you believe in and what your open-mindedness is all.
So what I think I've pinpointed as in terms of, like, this episode and this season of the show, I thought we were going to go back to these early episodes and really pinpoint some things that are different about us, things that we approach differently, and you could see how different our skepticism is. And then that'll be a base to move forward from. But actually, I've kind of found the opposite. I kind of think, actually, we're, in terms of who we are as people, we're not all that different. And the things we believe in are not that different. Yet somehow now we do feel more skeptical, which says to me it's the world around us and not necessarily us. Like you say, Emma, we have changed. We've got older. Beef's had kids. You know, I've come to terms with a few things emotionally with me. We've all moved away and live in different places now. You know, we've all changed in our life, but I think our personalities and the way we approach things, we're still very much the same people.
And I think your fan base as well, and obviously I'm included in this, has gone, I think the people who listen now have listened for a long time. Even though you do get the odd person who is new, and, you know, I think the majority of your listeners are long-time listeners. So if you said something that was shocking or controversial or not to someone's taste, you lost those listeners a long time ago. They've sent you those horrible reviews and you've lost them. Like, if you put something out and Beef's like, don't believe in God. Tiss is like, I'm most sort of institutionalized person. And Bob is just like, away with the fairies. Like, what has happened to you three? You are the same people. And why your listeners for so long? Because we like you as people. We appreciate all three of your perspectives.
Amazing. So it'll be interesting going forward in this series to, well, this is who we were. Next is who we are now. Well, actually, who we are now is not that different. So I think what we're going to be looking at more is how the world around us has made us feel like we're more skeptical.
Yeah.
Where maybe we're not necessarily more skeptical, but we definitely feel it. What do you think, Beefy?
I still feel like, I would still place myself in pretty much the same place as I would 5 years ago. And I would say, I don't think you guys are any more skeptical than you were. I think some things have changed, but in terms of our lives rather than making us more skeptical. I just think maybe in that time, like Emma said at the beginning of the episode, we've probably matured more in the sense that, you know, when we started this pod, we were sort of mid to late 20s. And in that time, you're still kind of a bit more thoughtful about what you're saying, and you still want to try and impress people, or you want to try and not come across like a right idiot. And then I think you get to this age and you don't really care anymore, because you've got your foundations, you've got the people around you that you care about and the people that really are of great value to you. And I just think maybe we've relaxed more. I just think maybe, and like Emma said, we've got this listenership that we know. You know, they know us and they know what we talk about, and they know that when they listen to an episode on a particular subject, it might not be too much about that subject and it might not be that factual, but they listen to it for other reasons. So I think maybe we've relaxed into it and just enjoyed it rather than it being, we've got to tick these boxes.
Mm.
So maybe that's it.
One of the first times I spoke to Bob, I said to him, I don't listen to weird tales for the facts. I listen to like get my juices flowing on a certain subject. And other people who listen to it are all the same.
I want to point out she said that because she was pointing out some stuff that we got totally wrong.
Yeah.
But she said, but I don't listen to it as for the facts.
It was on the Rasputin episode, I think.
Oh, yeah. Let's wrap up. Yeah, Tis, any final thoughts on who we were?
Who we were? Yeah.
He's not been listening the whole time.
No, I totally agree with Emma, actually. I think it is. I think it genuinely is just us as people. Got a lot older and things have changed, but we haven't changed really. It's just we've had to adapt to our, you know, older selves, I guess.
Also, you've settled, you know what you're doing, you're more comfortable.
Well,
I mean, I'm sitting on my bed. I'm literally laying on my bed, like half naked. You're like, yeah, you know what you're doing.
He's basically naked.
Jesus.
It's so grotesque.
Like we were talking last week about, he was like, oh, you're the most professional person. Like you and Rick, I can always count on you to have done your homework. These two clowns, not so much.
Literally, I listened to you guys' podcasts before I came on, and I was like, oh my God, there is so much research that goes into these podcasts. Me and Beef just come on and chat shit, and that's what I say to everyone, that like people always say, oh, are you still doing the podcast? Oh, amazing, that's amazing. I'm like, I literally turn up and chat shit. I do nothing. I contribute nothing to the show, really.
Yeah, but you do. Like, I feel like, as a listener... I love, like, the fact that you are like that. Like, that's obviously why these guys are friends with you, because they love you for who you are.
I bet Bob loves it.
Yeah, I love it. Emma, as a listener, when Tis goes quiet for, like, 20 minutes, then he suddenly chips in, are you, like, a bit excited? Like, oh, Tis,
Tis. Tis.
Because I'm like that when I edit, and I'm like, oh, Tis is here. Like, this is bad.
Here it comes.
Well, previously, like, before tonight, I thought, oh, yeah, he's kind of trying to... gather his thoughts and like you know he's like weighing up his options and things like that, but now I know that he's probably either gone to the toilet, gone for a drink, or just laying there like staring,
eating a burger in the background. Yeah, when I said to you he sometimes lays back on his bed, now you see that he literally does. He just lays down his bed.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to Homer's brain and he's like deep in thought, and it's like a monkey doing like a backflip or something.
The symbol monkey.
Yeah.
I don't like that Tis put me in the same category as him. I don't like that you did that, because when I came in here, I've got like my family in the other room. My uncle came in. You might have heard him, and Tis, Bob, when you edit, you might hear my uncle came in and got himself a drink and some crisps and then left the room, but was like super quiet. I made sure the door was shut. Everything's shut. I've got my drinks here. I'm really quiet when I put my drinks down. And Tis is just laying there with his like balls hanging out and scoffing a burger.
Oh, rock and roll, baby.
No.
So I've actually found this kind of a relief. Like I thought, oh yeah, what's happened to us? But I think nothing's happened to us. It's the world around us. And that's what we have to investigate going forward on this series. So next time, listeners, we're going to be joined by a psychiatrist, psychologist, psychoanalyst. I don't know the difference between those things. I can't remember. But someone who's going to really dig into us a little bit.
Nice research, Bob.
Yeah, well, I can't remember the difference. But they're going to explain to us, aren't they? It's the whole point of it. So it's going to be really interesting, going to be really fun. And we're going to... I know Beef was a little bit nervous about it. So we're going to have someone really dig into us and who we are and why we feel the way we do about skepticism and the modern age and stuff. And I think that's going to be really interesting. Until then, if you've got anything to say, and if you've noticed anything, how have we changed? How has our skepticism changed? What have you noticed about us that's changed since the start of the show? You can do that. It's wtatupod@gmail.com. That's Weird Tales and the Unexplainable Pod, wtatu@gmail.com. Or you can go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com and contact through that. On that website, you can also find links to our social media accounts that we talk about that we don't use. The T Public page where you can buy merch, you can donate on there and stuff. All that stuff, all the links to all the interesting stuff's on that website. You can also go to my website, that's bobshoy.com, bobshoy.com. You can contact me personally through there, or you can see the other shows I work on as part of the Bob Shoy Podcast Network, including the just finished The Simpsons 4 and 1 More, which I host with Emma.
Yay, go us.
We've just finished a real nice year-long 25-episode run covering The Simpsons series 1 to 11, our favourite episodes, and we have tangential episodes about our favourite songs, our favourite Halloween segments, our favourite jobs that Homer's had. We did a 4 and 1 More on Futurama as one of those special episodes with Tiss. Tiss is on that with us.
Yeah.
He doesn't lay back on his bed on that episode.
I'm very professional in that episode. It's not my pod, so I can't just take the piss.
But you can go on my website. You can go and search for that pod as well. That's just finished. So that's The Simpsons 4 and 1 More. It's been a real fun pod to work on over the last year. I think that's it for the links. I know we said we're finishing doing this stuff. Listen of the week. I said we were going to do it for the next three episodes. I mean, do I have a note for listener of the week? A listener called Hannah, she messaged me to tell me she's getting engaged. Now, she's already been listener of the week. She did those, if I remember rightly, the embroidery stuff that we got.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Sage and Prey and the Weird Tales embroidery? We got that here, the cross-stitch stuff. So she is engaged to a guy called John. John Aiken, I think that's his surname. I actually got his name written down. So Hannah and John, anyway, congratulations on getting engaged. It's awesome that you both listened to the pod. Love it. John, you're listener of the week, so I don't think you've had it before. Hannah, you have. But congratulations on getting engaged. Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
And what I want to know, guys, get back in contact. Did you listen to the pod together after you met, or were you already separate listeners who then met and were like, hey, I love that show, because that's really cool.
That would be mental.
If it's that way around, it's awesome.
It's not going to be that,
that
is it?
That would literally be mental.
Can I just chip in? I am the president of the Weird Tales and the Unexplainable fan club and also treasurer sometimes. And I can say that they were listeners separately and together through the fan club.
Emma, are you shitting us?
Maybe. please wear a Rubs t-shirt under your groom's like attire.
I would love that.
You have to.
So yeah, congratulations, guys. John, if you've already been listener of the week one time, don't tell me. I don't want to know. This is it. This is your one time. I said I'll try and remember to mention you guys' engagement ages ago, and this time I finally remembered. There we go. You happy now?
Engagement of the week.
All right. Jeez. Aggressive.
My throat's dying. I've been ill. I need to go to bed. Emma, thanks for joining us. Thanks so much. I'm glad you finally made it onto an episode.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks for coming. It's been lovely.
A strange retrospective episode. Trip down memory lane.
It's been really fun.
Honestly, like, I've been a fan for so long.
I mean, I've really enjoyed tonight.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been really fun. I haven't enjoyed that I'm more likely to see Tiss's balls than I am to see Lid come through that door behind him. That stresses me out.
I've seen all of Tiss tonight.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've given myself fully to the pod tonight.
It's a nightmare.
If you guys were doing outfit of the week, you know, did that once.
It's Tiss, hand
Tiss
down.
Would definitely win.
No, Tiss is lost.
I'm wearing a dressing gown. Nada underneath.
Tiss is excluded from that segment forever.
It actually makes you look like a Jedi.
No way.
No, it doesn't.
I bought this so I could hide all his sin from earlier.
I went to a house party, which was 90s movies theme.
I was about to say, did you go as the dude?
I went as the dude, yeah.
When you came in, I said, here comes the dude, when you turned it on.
Literally, yeah. But it's funny because I have another dressing gown, which is a Jedi one, which is actually like, I mean, it's not, you know, Jellos don't exist, but it's got the patch on it and stuff.
So Tiss, this sums up Tiss Emma, because he's recorded with you once before. He's now perfectly fine for you to see his ball bag. He's incredibly polite the first time he meets someone. As soon as he's met you once, it's just like, yeah, whatever.
That's literally what it's like in my house as well.
Tiss, I really hope you're wearing more for our next guest.
Honestly.
That is horrific.
I just felt like Emma's such a part of the family. It's just like being on the pod with you guys anyway.
The funny thing is, because my webcam's not on, you don't know, like, I could be wearing less than Tiss.
Yeah, Emma's naked as well.
50% of us are naked.
Me and Bobby didn't get the memo.
Right, anyway, let's call it a night. Love you lots, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Love you too.
Until next time, stay out of the basement.
Bye.
See you later. Cheers.
Love you lots.
Bye. See you. Cheers. Bye.
Love you lots. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
That's amazing.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
That's great.
That was
what that really miss? That really took me by surprise. What's going on, babe?
Fine.
Tiss has lost his shit.
Mate, he was just doing the window catch right behind you. Like, what the fuck?
That's my uncle.
Is it really?
Excellent. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just some random window cleaner, like 8 o'clock at night. Like,
no, they know I'm recording, so he waited and obviously planned to do it.
That's funny. Hilarious. So,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
So, aren't you glad you stopped at your torso?
Tell him. Tell him we all enjoyed it.
Look at Tiss's horrible leg.
No, it's horrible to think that he's not wearing anything underneath that dressing gown.
It is horrible.
I'm not even joking. A couple of times, he's obviously sitting on a bed or something, and I've seen up
his...
And I'm like...
Yeah. There's been some very near cock shots on this episode. I could have screen capped this and put it on to like Mr. Skin or something. Famous... The upskirts of like famous podcasters.
Oh, gross.
Did he glug?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.